Welcome, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Not a Thing podcast 130 this week. We're recording after a momentous week in internet news anyway. FCC handed down its preliminarily did. We've talked about it in the past. We're talking, of course, about net neutrality and all that good stuff. And as you may or may not have heard, you hopefully heard that the FCC voted along party lines, somewhat unsurprisingly, to support net neutrality. And they went really above and beyond the call of duty on this one. The kind of major thing about net neutrality was the big push was regarding bandwidth throttling and blocking of data and paid prioritization of traffic and things like that. And they've said that they are against all of those things and for more transparency about stuff. But rather than do what was done in 2010, where they enacted some rules which were then overturned by lawsuits from Verizon, among other companies, the FCC went even further, or at least they've purported to go even further and are reclassifying broadband under Title II of the Telecommunications Act, which is kind of this huge historical document from, I think it's the 1930s, talking about traffic of and use of networks and things, and essentially it boils down to treating the broadband services the equivalent of a utility like telephone or things like that. It's actually referring to, I think it's called the Common Carrier clause of the Telecommunications Act. And, you know, in me saying this in the last kind of 2 minutes kind of sums up the stuff that, you know, we've pulled together about net neutrality, but it means a lot and it means enough to us that we're actually going to dedicate this whole show to net neutrality. So hopefully if you're a fan of the show, if you're a fan of the podcast, you will continue to listen.
And if it's not for you, we'll be back next week.
But net neutrality is kind of a big deal to us, mostly because we're reaping a lot of the benefits of said neutrality by having our podcast kind of free and accessible via anyone. And it's one of those things that we think enables a lot of the use of the internet, whereas the proponents or the opponents of net neutrality, given their way, would likely stifle innovation and use of the internet in ways that are, you know, for the public good, shall we say.
That's not what the lobbyists are saying, Alan. They've spent a lot of – I'm actually surprised it came down to a party line vote because everybody takes a lot of money from those people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. There is a lot of money being floated around for influence, and a lot of people say that it is kind of, you know, you're suppressing you know, the party system, you're suppressing, you know, the rule of government on this. And what's interesting is the FCC is a rulemaking body, but it is not a lawmaking body. So in theory, Congress could enact laws which modify how these things are implemented or otherwise kind of put together. So there is some kind of messiness around what has happened. And one other kind of mildly troubling thing about the ruling of the SEC is that it's purported to be over 300 pages, but it's not actually been released to the public yet. So There's some, you know, some fuzziness around it, and it does have to be worked out and exposed. You know, for a group wanting more transparency, it's kind of messed up that they didn't release it in junction with the announcement. But at least so far, on the face of it, from what we're able to determine, it does seem to be a win for net neutrality.
Yeah, let's
So
hope they don't totally fuck us when they release the actual report. That would be
hopefully,
unfortunate.
that would actually suck. It has you know, the fingers crossed thing at the end of the. There's just a picture of someone holding their fingers behind their back crossed. You know, that would
We'll
be lame.
just have to go ahead and delete this episode.
It's all right. Someone would figure out how and delete it for us, I'm sure. It would work out. But or they would just restrict bandwidth such that people couldn't download it.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is something that's at stake here. I mean, I could see a future without this ruling where we can't put on this show because we don't pay the money to the right people who control the connections.
Right. I mean, the short form for net neutrality is that there's not that the neutrality aspect of it is the internet is around and is of value to everyone, and in you know, kind of inherent in that value is that it's a level playing field. So anyone can put things up, anyone can download things. The traffic that is on the internet is just that. It's traffic, and everyone is essentially at the same kind of level. So there's nothing to say that your Netflix traffic is more important than our podcast, for example. Or rather, our podcast is not kind of more important than
Your life alert.
yeah.
I don't know if we have any listeners who have life alert, but maybe someday.
Oh well, actually, there is, I believe there is, there are some exceptions to the no, I mean the major provisions are no throttling, no blocking, no paid prioritization, but I believe there are some exceptions, and the major one being if you're doing anything illegal on the internet, then you're kind of suspect anyway. And the other one is regarding certain network sensitive things, and I guess both voice over IP, so VoIP traffic, because it can be used as a phone call in an emergency, and I guess there's certain heart rate monitoring systems or services or medical monitoring systems which. It would be a shame if those were not real time because they actually do relate to life and death. And those have exceptions, although the actual nature of those exceptions is not clear. That's just one little bit that I'd read.
I don't know, my ability to binge watch House of Cards, it's kind of life and death. I think that traffic should get priority.
Well, I think it could get priority, and there's nothing to say that priority can't be assigned because it doesn't enforce, it doesn't say anything about bandwidth caps or bandwidth usage. It's just that you can't do caps in a way that is unfair. You can't do caps in a way that it excludes any kind of content or any kind of provider, and. Like I said, that this was actually attempted to be enacted by the FCC in 2010, and Verizon sued them in order to break the connection between net neutrality and broadband usage. Interestingly enough, the rules now that the FCC has put forth is actually more restrictive because, like I was saying, they classify broadband under Title II, whereas they were originally under Title I, which is like information providing services, which has no, which is regulated in a different way. Whereas Title II is more of a lifeline-like service, and that's what they call telephone service. Or there is that that does exist. There is lifeline telephone service. You pay this really basic amount, and you can receive phone calls to your landline. For those of you that don't know what a landline is, it's a it's a cable that runs into your house for the purposes of making phone calls.
It's and it's a that... phone that's connected to a wall, yes. Not to your face.
it's an interesting interesting change because it does classify the internet as a utility on par with telephone service, which means that it should be kind of open and accessible by all people. There's some interesting nuances to that in the way that it seems like while it is classified or reclassified under Title II, there's some play around how they're applying that classification because certain things don't apply for broadband that did for phone service. So one thing is that there is not going to be, or at least so far, there's not going to be a universal access kind of thing for internet. Internet is not being treated as like an inalienable human right. It's just something that you have to have access to, but you still do have to pay for. And that's kind of a myth that I've seen is that net neutrality doesn't mean the internet is free. It just means that the internet is going to be available. And the FCC and the government will regulate it in kind of a different way, in a way that it was not regulated in the past. And the regulations are mostly around are mostly opposed by telco companies, although not all of them. Like I've heard, I think it's Sprint and T-Mobile are not coming out against the FCC ruling, or at least so far have not. But all the major other ones seem to be. AT&T, Comcast, Verizon again. Verizon actually complained to the FCC by releasing... They had a press release which was written in Morse code. They released a translation of it like later. And it's essentially saying that by classifying it under Title II of the Telecommunications Act, you're actually stepping back in time to the 1930s when the Telecommunications Act was first enacted. And what was really interesting about the Verizon article was that press release was not only were they saying we're stepping back in time and applying arcane old laws to the to you know a 21st century kind of business and service, but they went and said that they think that the FCC's rulings infringe on the First Amendment, which I found really interesting.
Well, I think it's interesting that at that time in the 30s, when that Telecommunications Act was enacted, you know, we were in a bit of a depression. Some might say, great. and what are we just coming out of now? It's interesting how history keeps circling back around. Like, huh, companies running roughshod. Okay. This is so Verizon's basically saying, this is the 21st century. Corporations are people. We should be able to do what we want. We need our freedoms to screw over our subscribers.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is an interesting thing that the bigger businesses kind of involved are against the ruling. And it's kind of a classic fight between big business and government regulation. The you know, in a perfect kind of world and society, yes, the market and market pressures and supply and demand would make this work without government regulation. But I think that assumes that everyone is acting in, you know, with integrity. And I think
That is not the case.
that's absolutely not the case. And that's why we do have kind of government regulations and rules. I mean, the biggest kind of example of this is monopolies. I mean, there are antitrust regulations for a reason. It's because monopolies will happen and will occur. We had talked in the past about how Comcast and Time Warner. Do I have that right? Is it Comcast and Time Warner that are hoping to merge, looking to merge, which should create the like biggest internet service provider by like a factor of two to the next at least to the next kind of competitor. And if that's not a clearer kind of sign of a people kind of taking advantage of the lack of regulation, I don't know what is. I think we come down on the side of regulations when they are in the public's best interest, and in this case, I think it is. I think actually, I think it could go even further than it does. I mean, because the reclassification as Title II does give it a firmer legal standing, so in theory, it's less likely to be a stay or it to be overturned by lawsuits. But at the same time, I think it could have gone further. I mean, there are some interesting provisions that I think are missing.
Like last mile unbundling.
Yeah. So what is last mile unbundling? I think the
That basically.
No, go ahead.
Or sorry, go
Yeah,
ahead.
the last mile is the piece of the internet that comes into your house. It's the I mean, the internet is this big, what is it, massive set of tubes. Is that how it's defined?
Yeah, pretty
It's
much.
internet connections from place to place to place that are very, very high speed and very big links. They're usually fiber. They're done in all sorts of ways,
Backbones.
but that's the connections that the major companies use to get like kind of across the US or across a state or across, you know, global lines, anything like that. But those aren't the pipes that are coming into your house. I mean, unless you're amazingly lucky. Most people don't have that kind of internet bandwidth into their house. So what happens is there's essentially a step down of traffic, and there's distribution points that will split up the bandwidth to get to individuals. And when that happens, that's the you know the so-called last mile. And what is one interesting thing about this FCC ruling is that it does not unbundle the last mile connections or connectivity from the carrier kind of bits. So way back in antiquity,
The 90s.
all of the carrier bits were owned by one company, by AT&T, and this was for. This was for telephone lines, but really any kind of cable that were running on the utility poles. And so the things that are that connect you to the internet are on those cables. And one suggestion for the FCC, one piece of net neutrality that would increase competition was that you essentially grandfather in all of those cables and make it so any service, any ISP can use the cables. So because there's bandwidth or there's essentially just connectivity. There's just wires between point A and point B and your house. You could potentially use the same cable, but any ISP that could come in over that. Do I have that right?
And they would pay, and that would allow smaller ISPs to buy wholesale the cabling going to the house, so that you could have more competition.
Yeah.
Which did not happen.
Right. And I think
so. This is a great thing for equality of information on a digital level,
uh-huh.
like going to websites, to actual traffic.
Yeah.
But as far as the infrastructure needed to provide actual competition among providers, that wasn't done here.
Right. Right. I mean, there is, there are interesting providers that that will have access because along with the reclassification under Title II, it means that ISPs do have access to use the existing utility poles in order to get cables to your home, but they have to provide new cables, essentially. So,
which is a time-intensive and expensive process.
Right.
Which is why you'll have smaller companies that are expanding, but it limits their growth and ability to provide to people in outlying areas.
Yeah. So one interesting thing that does benefit is companies that are large enough to kind of get over that hump, you know, or that sunk cost of stringing those cables. One company in particular that's been having that will probably have more success in that is Google Fiber. Google has been running into a bunch of communities fiber links to the home. So where I was talking about like kind of backbone level links to the home, where that's very relatively rare, Google would propose into certain communities that they would run those kinds of links directly to people's houses, essentially upgrading everyone in that neighborhood to to the level of a telco bandwidth.
And they're not the only company doing that. There are other companies like Sonic,
yeah,
out of California.
Yeah, and it's an interesting kind of play. They were getting a lot of, they were making a lot of noise because of the level of demand that would spring up whenever they would say that, oh well, we might partner with this city to set up the internet connectivity for that. And it just shows that there is a significant amount of demand for kind of high bandwidth connections, but the access is just not there. And so it's the kind of thing where there's still a lot of kind of progress that can be made, but there's still some interesting innovation to be made there. One company that is kind of getting around this by not using cables is Monkey Brains, which is an ISP in San Francisco. And they're using, I believe it's either point-to-point wireless or mesh wireless or a combination of both. But essentially they're blanketing a lot of the city in wireless, not necessarily Wi-Fi wireless, but they're providing access points that can talk to each other, providing a network mesh without wiring them all together. So a traffic packet could wind its way through the city without necessarily having wires attached in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's interesting in a kind of very dense area, but you're exactly right. Like, there's not a lot of incentive to run new cables out to a place where it's very rural or the density isn't very high. So those places are still going to be stuck with the level of access that they do have, which kind of sucks. But it I think on the whole the ruling has kind of the right pieces involved and might be setting the stage for kind of more, hopefully. One other interesting thing about the ruling is that it's not just regarding kind of home internet access. It specifically calls out mobile internet access and treating that in the same vein in terms of net neutrality, although it does have a bit of a caveat, or at least so far, where they acknowledge the difficulties in bringing bandwidth to the mobile kind of space, specifically that there aren't anywhere near enough towers to support the phones that are out there. I recognize this kind of just on my own. Like when I was in Sacramento last week, we talked about it on the show. I was out in Sacramento Monday and Tuesday, and I was kind of not really out in no, I was out in the boonies. It was like a good 20 minutes
Are you guys
from,
shooting downtown there?
yeah, it was a good 20 minutes from any kind of made anything that looked like there were buildings. And I wasn't using my phone very much at all. And it's a really good thing too, because my phone was under 15% after about 8 hours of being out there. And that's just from the phone, you know, trying to grab any signal that it can get, where it's, you know, it's amazing how quickly I got used to, you know, having Wi-Fi all the time provided by my office or the house, and having a fair amount of pretty fast like 4G LTE level connections, and then being out where I'm getting the 3G or even the little E on the
Yeah, for those of us that don't live in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. And there are a few of us that are listening to the show, so we acknowledge you. Thank you for listening to the show. Hopefully, you're downloading this on a reasonably fast connection, but for those that aren't, it sucks. It's the kind of thing where, you know, again, more is still needed, more innovation, and then possibly more rules around like how the internet gets there. But classifying mobile access. And access in general is really interesting. I read another article, and this is somewhat conspiratorial, but it's saying that a lot of the there's a lot of the backlash for net neutrality comes from telcos, because it hurts their business model. But there were people that were saying that Republicans specifically are suppressing net neutrality, not because they are in the pocket of these telcos, but because net neutrality also implies universal or at least near universal access and participation in the flow of information, which people attribute to something that Republicans would want to suppress. I'm not saying that that's a definite link, but I think it can only be good to have more access and more participation in not only government but really any kind of flow of information. So you know, net neutrality continues to be a thing for the Not a Thing podcast.
One other interesting thing, I used Alan's phrase, is that they have a provision that would overturn some state laws that prevent local governments from creating their own networks, deferring to private enterprise. And I think that's going to be huge. Because there's a lot of communities that aren't getting served by the available service providers that are just going to take their money and build their own stuff. They're going to go put in, they're going to put in the lines themselves. And that's going to, I think that has the potential to rapidly expand availability across the entire country.
It's that was a really interesting article too, because it initially kind of looks like We're now the FCC has the power to overturn state law, and that's really kind of weird. And how does that? How is that okay?
Because they're stupid laws.
But right, exactly. The laws that are involved are saying that if you live in City A and City B has better internet bandwidth, and you can't buy that internet bandwidth because of weird, ridiculous laws to prevent competition in that area, then yeah, that's a silly law and should be you know, broken up. I mean, the point of net neutrality is that access, and it's that access regardless of where you are. So I think it that on the face of it anyway potentially opens up markets for a lot of ISPs that that weren't there anymore.
Those are the kind of laws that were made on the dollar of the companies who are trying to protect their own monopolies, right, in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And they're the same kind of laws that stupidly exist that prevent Tesla from directly selling to customers. There are states that have laws that will not allow that company to sell their cars directly to customers.
Yeah.
They have to go through dealerships, which have limited supply that limits the number of cars that can be sold.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's private interests looking out for their buddies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think it does turn a lot of, heads. There's a lot of interesting stuff, and there will more than likely be a lot of lawsuits. It's just the, unfortunately, the way a lot of things get done, and get undone in U.S. politics is that someone has to sue somebody in order for it to really take effect. And I think the FCC has crafted this ruling in such a way that hopefully will withstand those legal challenges, at least from the point of view of the spirit of the law. The individual implementations of things may change, but hopefully the major aspects of it regarding blocking bandwidth kind of caps and prioritization can get will withstand that those legal challenges. Kind of as alluded to earlier, the major legal challenge actually is not necessarily that of a lawsuit, but it's that you know, we have a Republican controlled Congress, and the, like we were saying, the party line came down, you know, 3 votes Democratic yes, 2 votes Republican no on the commission. And if in the hands of Congress as a whole, it could potentially change a lot of things. I mean, the legal process for doing that would have to be laws that are either specifically for or specifically for kind of rules and regulations around net neutrality, or possibly changing the rules of the FCC as a whole. And the upside is that I don't think either of those are necessarily kind of in the sights of politicians at large. I think there, you would hope there are other more pressing matters that are around.
But, right. Well, it seems like the main argument that I've heard from the Republicans is there shouldn't be regulation because right. They're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
All this stuff is overreacting. But you can see the things that are starting to happen, and it's nice to see the FCC addressing it before it's a problem.
Yeah.
And there's this, you know, that it's not, oh, they'll never do that. Oh, if someone's thought of it, they're going to do it. If it's within the law, they're going to do it. And even if it's not, they're probably going to do it.
Right, right.
And if anything, you think they would approve it because that's more people with internet, that's more people for the NSA to monitor.
That is one really big thing regarding this, because it does imply that there's going to be more access kind of in the future. Everyone will have connectivity. Everyone will have internet access. And if you take that to the extent that if you look at the parallel in phones, which is what the reclassification, essentially does, one of the major things that came out of universal kind of phone access is that universal potential for wiretapping. So the framework for wiretapping phones and the rules regarding that, the reason that those exist is because everyone used to have, or everyone maybe still has, phone lines in a house, whether they use them or not. But because of that, it's a vector for surveillance. And we've talked about surveillance kind of a lot, and being opted in automatically to things. And there's a lot of potential for surveillance via a lot of means. But if everyone is given internet access, or everyone is granted the possibility of internet access, it's even more likely that your internet access could be compromised in the in such surveillance level things. And if there's not bandwidth things or caps or throttling or anything like that, it's even kind of more likely, because that infrastructure that could potentially limit those things is not there, which means that it can be kind of, there's more noise to hide in for the people that are monitoring, is what I'm trying to say.
So basically, we've been speaking for almost the last 40 minutes about how good this is. But now that I think about it again, I mean, I'm gonna be able to stream my Netflix without buffering for a cheaper price, but now Skynet will be able to find me much easier.
Well, I think that was coming regardless. I mean, just as we
That's true.
use more
I'm on the
internet,
internet.
there's more hooks, there are more tags of our existence out in the world. I mean, I think the one saving grace in that is that there are advocacy groups, and there are companies that are making things that are related to security and privacy, and that's still a thing, whether that's kind of regulated by the FCC or not. And currently, that's not. Currently, cryptography is still a thing. It is a little, I think, too complex for the average person to kind of get through. But even that is getting more, getting a lot easier. A company called, I think it's called Open Whisper, is the name of the company. It was founded by a former person from Twitter, and they released a client, an app for Android called, I believe it's called Redphone, as well as a service that's called like Secure Text, or Secure Messaging. And there's a companion app on the iPhone that's called, ooh, I don't remember the name. It is Signal. And both those apps, or all of those apps, encrypt end to end, so point to point, without the intervening use of a server, texting and even voice calls, although currently the iPhone one doesn't do voice calls. But it's showing that those, there are companies out there that still do value, privacy and security of data and integrity of data. And in theory, that is not going to be regulated, as it is just traffic. Just as we were saying that, a stream of Netflix or this podcast or searches on the internet are just traffic and can't be capped or monitored or otherwise unfairly prioritized. Traffic that goes to end to end and is encrypted is not necessarily anything that's suspect. And so initiatives like this one and the end-to-end encryption of email that we've also talked about on the show, they have to really get a better name than the dark mail initiative, but you know,
Even
hopefully.
end-to-end sounds pretty bad. Am
Yeah.
I the only one who thought of Requiem for a Dream? I
Yeah,
probably am.
it's all right. It's all right. Oh God. Anyway.
Well, I think that brings an end to the podcast.
what we're trying to say, I think in short, is net neutrality.
Fast forward to this last 30 seconds. Net neutrality, it's a thing.
It's a thing. It continues to be a thing. It's a thing that we like to talk about on the show because it enables things like our show. It's
And we like that.
yeah. I mean, the ability that we can not only create the show over the internet, which we do every week, it's done over the internet. We're generally not or haven't been face to face for probably the last almost 100
30?
episodes, maybe.
30 episodes ago, we did for the 100th.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah. But it's the kind of thing where, you know, not only the creation of the show, but the distribution of the show, the fact that everyone can listen to it is completely kind of on the face of, yeah, let's just do that and see if it works. And I think that level of access, the ability to just say, hey, let's try that. Let's see how it works. And that's
And the
really
world needs more of that.
the value of net neutrality in that, you know, anyone that just wants to use it has that access. And so, hooray for the FCC for doing kind of the right thing with that. And let's hope it sticks.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. So a pretty good episode this week. I hope, thanks for everyone that's stuck with us for the show. And we'll be back to our usual, kind of fun and antics next week.
If you have made it through this whole episode to this point and you're hearing my voice right now, the next time I see you in person, let me know that you did, and I will buy you a beer. Don't tell anyone else about this. I only want the people who actually listen this long. I will buy you a beer.
Awesome. Awesome.
Or if
That's
you don't drink, then I'll laugh at you because what are you doing with your life? Unless you have a problem drinking and then, you know, don't drink, we'll think of something. Just let me know if you made it this far.
Sounds like a good plan, man. I will talk to you
All right.
next week.
Till next time, Alan.